This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and the clock is ticking on Beacon Hill. Mere hours left to go in the final day of the 2018 legislative session. And it's a scramble as legislators try to reach compromises on a slew of bills before the midnight deadline, including healthcare funding, education spending, opioid treatment, and economic development. After tonight, they'll also head back to their districts for re-election season. Or, and I guess since they're all serving, yes, all of them are hoping to run for re-election. But WBOR State House reporter Steve Brown is on Beacon Hill today with the latest. Hello, Steve.
Hi there, Meghna.
Sorry for that bobble there in the introduction, Steve. So much
some are
going
coming
on.
Back. Most of them are coming back. Some are retiring.
See.
Some are moving on.
Yeah, the voters get to have their say anyway. So let us get back to what is happening there today. What's the major movement from the State House as we get closer to tonight's deadline?
Well, everyone is in the building, and legislators have been acting on a lot of minor bills, land takings and the sort. The House did unanimously pass a bill allowing first responders to get mental health assistance after responding to a traumatic incident. The halls are full of lobbyists. They're all keeping an eye on their respective bills. But most of the action, if any, is taking place behind closed doors as legislative leaders in the key chairs are trying to find some common ground on some key bills. Now, I've been through a few of these end-of-the-session marathons, and it's not uncommon for those agreements to be reached well into the night, and that could happen again this year.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the specific ideas then that are here at the end of the session. Governor Charlie Baker has made a priority of the opioid addiction treatment and funds, and there's a second housing bill that would make it easier to build housing across Massachusetts. Any progress on those?
He has been trying. Yesterday, the governor was paying visits to the offices of House Speaker Robert DeLeo and Senate President Karen Spilker, trying to get them to reach some sort of an agreement on those priorities. Now, at least the House and the Senate have each passed their own version of an opioid bill. So some sort of final deal is possible, and there's a feeling that it would look bad if no agreement could be reached. Now, as far as the housing bill is concerned, neither the House nor the Senate have even begun debate on that. And with less than 9 hours left, that's looking less and less likely.
Ah, okay. So looking forward to the next legislative session for that, perhaps. All right. So let's talk about economic development there, because that bill could potentially limit non-compete agreements for Massachusetts workers. Now, but there's a couple of differences, right, between the House and the Senate versions here.
Yeah, the Senate is calling for just over $600 million in borrowing, and the House puts it at $666 million. They may split the difference. Who knows? As you mentioned, it does have that language for non-compete agreements. They're not quite in sync yet over the language over the non-competes. I don't know where the both sides are, but that's one of the things that they're negotiating. And of course, that economic development bill does have language for a sales tax holiday for this year that will be coming up in about a week and a half, and hopefully the session will be over by then. It's supposed to be over at midnight. I don't know. If they extend it, it might be right into that weekend.
Wow. Now, every one of these bills that we're talking about all contain very big ideas, I have to say. I mean, now what about the healthcare financing bill?
Businesses say that they are disappointed that lawmakers are ignoring an opportunity to address cost growth in the state's Medicaid system and are instead proposing strategies that would increase health care spending. Now, the House wants to place a $330 million assessment on insurers and high-paid providers and then redistribute that money to smaller community hospitals that provide services to many Medicaid patients. The Senate wants all providers reimbursed for care at 90% of the statewide relative price in order to reduce disparities. But since the businesses have come out against it, that bill has sort of lost some steam here.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we've talked about health care. We've talked about opioids, economic development, non-competes. How about clean energy, right? There's a compromise that was reached there?
Yeah, that's making a little bit of progress here. The House, within the last hour, voted to accept that conference committee report, 151-1, the final vote on that. The Senate should be taking that up any minute now. Since it is a conference committee report, they can only vote to approve or disapprove. They can't make any changes to it. Many environmental groups have expressed displeasure with this compromise, saying that it falls short in making a greater shift away from fossil fuels and towards renewable energy.
So you said the House had voted on this 151-1.
That's correct.
Was the one Frank Smizek, the chair of the House Committee on Global Warming?
Yeah. He just didn't think it went far enough and voted no.
I'm seeing here that he called the compromise version, quote, terrible. Okay. So finally, Steve, you said earlier that it's not uncommon for this mad dash at the end of the session for a lot of agreements to happen, or maybe not agreements, to happen behind closed doors. But we're seeing here that Kirsten Hughes, chair of the Mass Republican Party, you know, is criticizing exactly that. She's said, quote, it's only fitting the Democrats will conclude the session by ramming through bills in a frantic final day with no transparency.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, these things, if they do pop tonight, folks are going to be voting on it without having any idea what's in the final compromise. They're just going to have to take a quick summary and the chairman's word that this does what it's supposed to do. It's crazy. But think back to when you were in school, Meghna. If your teacher didn't give you a deadline, didn't say you didn't have to have your homework in by a certain day, you might not ever get that homework in. So the same principle is at play here.
I mean, if we didn't have a deadline, we might never get Radio Boston on the air every single day either. So I know the motivation of that absolute end time. Steve Brown, WBR State House reporter, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Meghna.
All right. So as you heard, the State House is a veritable hive of activity. And sitting right next to Steve Brown is WBR Edify reporter Max Larkin, because he's going to talk to us about education funding. There's another bill pending on Beacon Hill about exactly that. Now, a conference committee is still trying to reconcile a measure that would make changes to what's called the foundation budget. This is the formula that the state of Massachusetts uses to determine the minimum amount that ought to be spent in each district to educate students in that district. And we've talked about the foundation budget a lot before. So just as a reminder, a state commission did find that the current formula estimates spending, or says that the state is underspending by $1 to $2 billion because the foundation budget actually hasn't been updated in 25 years. WBR's Max Larkin has been following the story of the foundation budget very closely, and he joins us now. Hello, Max.
Hi, Meghna.
Okay, so this big debate over the foundation budget is in a conference right now. What's going on?
I wish I could tell you in a way. Six members of the legislature, three reps, three senators, are meeting behind closed doors. They're trying to reconcile these two bills, each of which passed with big majorities. But none of them are willing to speak with the press, at least not until a consensus bill comes out of that conference, and it hasn't happened yet.
So they're cutting it really close, though, given also everything else that Steve told us that they have to deal with.
Indeed, it feels a little crazy. They're actually already running late, Meghna. They missed an 8 p.m. deadline last night. They'll have to suspend the rules to override that deadline. And as of a few minutes ago when I checked, they were still meeting. So, yes, this is absolutely right down to the wire on a hugely ambitious bill, even though lawmakers have been contemplating this reform since 2015.
Okay, so this is one issue which, yes, as you point out, it's been thought about for 3 years now. But if I understand correctly, Max, right now there's some sticking points between differences in the House and Senate versions?
That's right. We've known for years, since 2015 at least, that there are four things that are costing Massachusetts schools a lot more than the state first figured back in 1993. Employee health care, special education are two. The other two are educating low-income students and English learners. The Senate bill wanted to tackle all four of those things at once. The House version wanted to tackle special education and health benefits, problems that affect every district, and then put off those two targeted sort of aid hikes, put those off for further study.
Okay, why further study?
Well, it's complicated. They say they don't know, House leaders say they don't know exactly how much those students need, but that really bothers activists who say the legislature already studied those needs pretty exhaustively back in 2014, 2015, and now they're basically kicking the can down the road. Here's Charlotte Kelly of the Massachusetts Education Justice Alliance.
We know that low-income students need things like smaller classroom sizes, more learning time in the classroom. If we wait another year, then that's just a whole other graduating class who aren't going to experience basic adequate funding of their schools.
So Kelly says that if the bill doesn't go through, her group will see it pretty clearly as a failure on the part of House leadership to take those needs seriously.
And then how are House leaders replying to that?
Well, they'd say they're doing the best they can, Meghna. House leaders pointed to the budget they passed, which proposes sort of smaller tweaks to the foundation budget, especially when it comes to English learners and the cost of providing teachers with health care. And they made allusion to the fact that they can't count on the fiscal windfall from the millionaire's tax, which was still up in the air when the Senate passed their version, and now we know it won't be on the ballot this year. It's worth noting that by one projection, tackling it the Senate's way, that is to say all these problems at once, could cost the state $800 million more in aid per year once it's fully implemented. Here's House Representative Alice Peisch. She's the chairwoman of the Joint Committee on Education.
Unlike when the Senate bill was passed, we now know that there will not be a ballot question that has the potential for providing additional revenues. I think that changes the landscape with respect to what we need to do.
So, Max, really what you're talking about is actually a fundamental disagreement in how much more the state can and should spend on education, and that's being played out in the differences in the priorities between what parts of the foundation budget to update. So it's a major kind of impasse, and the legislative session ends tonight at midnight. What happens if a compromise isn't reached?
So schools will have to muddle through regardless of what happens. If they come up with a miracle compromise bill, they could suspend the rules and continue the debate past that midnight deadline. Again, conference committee members aren't commenting, but I think it's seeming more and more likely that even though there's been a ton of agitation on this issue, Meghna, from activists and lawmakers, even the McCourty twins who play for the New England Patriots stepped up for the foundation budget bill, there's a real possibility that this reform just won't happen this session.
And so then how would that affect schools in the coming years?
Well, you see this in a bunch of different trends. You know, it's been going on for some time. There's a handful of districts that are seeing class sizes creep up again, particularly low-income districts. Boston has had to close school libraries. Other districts are saying they have more and more need for social workers, bilingual resources, the kind of things this could really help with. Kathleen Smith is superintendent of the Brockton Public Schools. She said this long process of asking and not getting a big, ambitious new funding, it's raising a conversation with her district and others about whether the state is fundamentally failing to meet its constitutional obligation to provide what's called an adequate education to students all over Massachusetts.
Whether it's my counterparts in the South Shore, whether it's rural districts, I've been receiving phone calls from superintendents, from community members that want to join and start to have this dialogue.
Okay, so when she says that she wonders if the state is meeting its constitutional obligation, is that another way of saying thinking about suing the state?
I think that's you've decoded her comment there. If I don't know if anyone was listening to the Edify series back in June, we looked at the big, ambitious landmark education reform, the last one of this size that happened 25 years ago. Then it was a lawsuit led again by Brockton that forced the legislature to pass what became this hugely ambitious 1993 ed reform bill. That certainly gives some impetus to this latest proposed lawsuit if the legislature fails to get this done before the clock strikes 12 or 2 a.m. or whenever the session comes to an end.
Well, that's WBUR Edify reporter Max Larkin speaking to us from the State House. Max, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.